So when COVID hit, people started to socially isolate. We heard rumors that nurseries were getting quiet, right? And didn't make any sense. You know, these women were pregnant way before COVID was even a rumor. And why would preterm birth rates start to drop? And we started to see in Europe, same thing. So there was actually a publication, specifically Scandinavia, that said early on, in somewhere in May, that preterm birth was dropping, and they actually speculated it was because there was less handshaking, right? So less sharing of bacteria that can cause preterm birth. That was their speculation. We had other theories. There's lots of theories, but no one had any proof. So I was CEO at the time, interim CEO at Nemours, and I had developed a friendship with the CEO of Highmark, Nick Morielli. And I called him up to say, we're seeing this, you know, just as one of my, and part of my conversation with him, I'd have a regular one. And I said, we're starting to see this preterm birth rate drop anecdotally. Wouldn't it be nice if we knew? And by the way, you have a huge database. Can we figure it out? He was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. It's interesting for two reasons. One is, it's just interesting to see if it really was happening. We didn't have great data. And secondly, it was interesting because if there was a magic sauce that we have missed for 30 years, if wearing a mask prevents preterm birth rate, we're going to wear a mask. It's been that big a problem. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar problem in this country, preterm birth. So, of course, Nick, being an insurance CEO, was interested. And as a human being, he was interested, and I was too. And we sort of thought about how to do this. I will say that in general, insurance companies and hospitals are not friends. but I learned in my year as interim CEO that that's just not necessary, and it's not really true. I mean, it's everyone has a mission of trying to make health better, and we just go about it with different tools and different ways. But really, when you get to know the leadership of companies like Highmark, and they're good people, and they want the same thing we do. And so in further conversation, he agreed, what would you do given, you know, what could I do to support your effort to try to figure out whether preterm birth is actually dropping? And I phoned my friends, right? So I have a lot of friends, and, you know, I'm old. So I have a lot of friends in neonatology that have explored preterm birth, and I've done some of it myself, to try to get to an answer. So these have to be really good social scientists, people that know how to take data, large databases, and work them and come up with solutions. There's a young group at CHOP that I've known well. They've spoken at some of the conferences I run. That's where Heather Burroughs was called. There's Jimmy Collins from Northwestern and Jen Culhane from Yale. These people are world-renowned at great institutions that have never worked together, and certainly have never worked together with an insurance company. But we made it happen. So we had a couple of calls, and it was just one of those where everything was a yes. You know, there's no roadblocks. Could we work together? Yes. Could you get data from Highmark? They've never done it before. But Nick would double down, which is what I love about Nick. He would say, not only can I get Highmark of Delaware, but probably Highmark of PA, and maybe Highmark of where else, and maybe even Independence Blue Cross in Pennsylvania. And he did all that, right? So he phoned his friends. And so it was all this really cool coming together to try to get the data. The good news on this, Nick, is that we did come together. He did generate a grant. It was a $300,000 grant split by Independence Blue Cross and himself, his company, Highmark of Delaware. And that money has been funneled through CHOP because we wanted to pick one place. I'll tell you why we did that. The bad news is we don't have the answer yet. It's taken us this long, and we're probably going to have the answer in a month or two, whether preterm birth rate dropped and why. By the way, if we can figure out the preterm birth rate dropped, it'd be nice to know more about it. You know, so it's not just a simple numbers game. It's, you know, was it all across all race ethnicities? Was it across all socioeconomic issues? Was it all across all areas, right? So this is a pretty broad national database. We could tell, you know, if it worked in Pennsylvania but not in Delaware, if it, you know, by specific populations. That will be really important because that can get to, if it did drop, why did it drop? Did it pick certain populations? Some of the theories, for instance, is places that had higher COVID maybe didn't social distance enough, and maybe they didn't have it drop. Could it be that single moms, so we know that preterm birth is related to stress. Higher stress causes preterm birth, and that's why racism causes preterm birth, because that's a chronic stressor. And so the question is, would a single mom who's at home with a mom without any kids, meaning single first child, who's at home, you know, working from home, maybe on Zoom, have a very low stress. I'm pregnant. I'm glad I'm home. I don't have to. Maybe that would have a nice decrease in preterm birth. Whereas the mom who's at home, who's still working, has three kids, maybe that stress level went up. And so we're trying to look at, you know, all those factors to try to get to it. So like any good research project, we're not sure we're going to get to gold. But we will find out something that's going to be important, and we're going to find out something important that's going to help all of us Americans, maybe beyond, you know, improve health of kids. And that's because of this incredible collaboration.
Now the collaboration is together. You mentioned your ability to research data, but how do you research on the ground level to find those similarities in cases where preterm birth has dropped so that you can draw conclusions?
Right, so that's where the great data miners come in, right? So we're gonna get very large sheets of data from Highmark, and the team that's primarily focused from CHOP we'll analyze it to find the signals. So the first big one is, did preterm birth drop? By the way, even if it didn't drop, there's still going to be important information, because we know that people were treated differently during COVID. Women had less prenatal care, had fewer ultrasounds. We're going to see all that in the data, and we're going to know, did that make a difference? Wouldn't it be amazing if, you know, well, you don't need as many ultrasounds, you can still have just as good outcome thing. So we're not going to stop, and just getting that access to the data will allow us to begin to answer questions that we've had for a long time. And what I also hope for the future is that this data will, as all good research does, it will stimulate other questions, and then we will get more data. And this partnership, we hope, will continue. But to answer the question specifically, We're creating a hypothesis together. We meet every week. We're creating the hypothesis together, and then we're going to pull the data points specifically to answer that. So mostly demographics, like I mentioned, meaning, you know, how old mom is, you know, what all of her characteristics. And then did she have COVID? You know, try to figure out, you know, when she had a baby and how the baby did. And all those characteristics are sheets and sheets of important information.
Now, earlier you mentioned the handshaking part or hypothesis. Are there any other ideas out there as to why a pandemic might be linked to a drop in the number of preterm births?
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, masking and social distancing in and of itself has dropped flu, for instance. So flu is almost non-existent this year, and that may have decreased preterm birth because your moms are not getting sick with other things, or even sharing bacteria or viruses that may relate to preterm birth. We think that, as I mentioned, it may be decreased attention. So you know, maybe we spend too much time in the you know, worrying about the clinical scenarios, and maybe we are doing too much intervention. That would be amazing, right? So we think we're doing the right thing. We think we, you know, you need all this prenatal care. Maybe you need some, and maybe not. You don't need some. So OBs were specifically saying, stay at home unless something is really coming up. That's really a shift. That's one of our doctor's theories. And then there's also all sorts of other nuances of, you know, like we talked about, you know, work from home might be very helpful to decrease your stress. you know, there may be something about just how we, you know, we know everything's changed with COVID. Something in there may have been keying us to have decreased preterm birth. So, you know, again, it's really going to be important to figure out if we have it. And if we do, then try to get some data as to why. We might not have a why. We may have just guesses, but we're going to try.
So where are you at now as far as getting the project underway, and what kind of timeline are you working on?
Right. So some of the challenges has been to get the contracts all done. So there's a lot of data sharing that we have to be very careful with. Right. So that's, you know, we want to protect people from, you know, privacy and all that. So we've had to really set up these walls of carefully constructed data sets so that no one could ever identify who we're talking about, even the researchers. And that's taken a lot of time. It's also taken some time to get the contracts all settled and the money in the right place. But we're really close now. And by the way, we're not going to ask for all the data from Highmark, right, or Independence. We're asking for specific things, and we had to come up with what those specific questions were, specific demographics. We're not going to just grab their entire database and work on it. So all those took time. We're really close. So I'm told that we will start looking at data by the end of February. And it, once we do that, it shouldn't take long, a month or two to know what we're, to have a signal of what we're seeing. And then we have a really good team of writers. So we're going to try to put it out. I'll give you a call, let you know how it's going.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
And so do we. We are all as excited as everybody else. We're excited. I'm personally excited by the collaboration. I hope it continues. But I'm also excited about, you know, could we really make a difference here? Could we really finally figure out what's going on with preterm birth?
And if you did have some kind of breakthrough information that came out of this study, what would then be next?
So we want to be able to translate that to, you know, after COVID, how do we treat each other so that we can reduce our preterm birth? If we find a signal, you know, what was that special sauce? What was the silver lining of COVID that caused preterm birth rates to go down? Look, if it's just stopping handshaking, that'll be our advice. When you're pregnant, don't shake anybody's hand. I don't think it's going to come down to that, but you know, that it could be as simple as that. We're hoping for a simple answer to help turn this really national tragedy of preterm birth into down into a, you know, slowly improving outcome. We may not get that lucky, but it's really worth the grant to spend the time to look at it.